Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top line of Daf Yud Tes. It should be noted that we are in the middle of a discussion that we started at the end of our previous shiur. We were trying to establish or resolve what seemed to be a contradiction in Tanaic sources regarding a matter of suffek, a situation where it's not clear what the person who vowed had in mind. On the one hand, our Mishnah established suffek that stam nedorim machmir, stam meaning undefined nedorim. If there are two ways of interpreting what the person said, we'll take the strict approach, the limiting approach, the restrictive approach. On the other hand, there was a Tanaic source that said, Sofik Naziris Lahakel, that if there's a doubt concerning whether or not someone is a Nazir, and a Nazir is an example of a Neder, we go Lakula, we take the lenient approach. So the Gemara resolved that at this point, that is Reb Zeira's resolution. He's the first of a couple of approaches. The second approach you will see is featured as number 2, lower on our daf, where a second volcano trapezoid shape appears. But in the meantime, we're working with Rebbe Zeira's resolution that one approach, one source, is in accordance with Rebbe Elazar, and the other is in accordance with Rabbanan. And Rebbe Elazar being the approach that says we are lenient. And the idea that he expressed was that a person does not put himself into a situation of doubt. When a person accepts upon himself a vow, it's only that which is certain, not that which is, it will not take hold concerning something that is a matter of doubt. We continue now at the top line. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye says to Rabbi Zeira, and you'll note that we have a long question here. B'mai ukimta l'safik nezirus l'hokel. According to whom did you establish the source that said that a matter of nezirus that is doubtful, we take the lenient approach? K'Rebbe Elazar. You said that that's in accordance with Rebbe Elazar. Amos Seifa. Continue reading that source and see what you see in the continuation. And we have a frame section. You can see that we have some dashed underlining. And let's just focus on that for the moment. It speaks about sofek regarding b'choros, a sofek, and it says v'asurin b'gizov avoda. Without getting into the details at this very moment. But what do you see? What you see here is the very source that spoke about Sofik Naziris Lahakel. You see a matter of doubt concerning another area of halacha, restriction. That's Abaye's question. Rabbi Zeira has a response, and after he offers his response to that question, he says, but you want to know something. If you want to raise a difficulty, there is a point of difficulty to raise, and that you will see a little bit later in the Gemara. A subsequent long question will be presented. Now, let's read the text. So Abaye points out to Rabbi Zeira, according to what you said, Sofik Naziris Lokel is in accordance with the Rebbe Elazar. Amos Seifa, we're on the third line from the top. Sofik Bechoros, a Sofik that arises in the area of firstborn. Echad b'chorei Adam v'echad b'chorei Behema, whether it's a matter of redeeming a firstborn child, or which we call Pidyon HaBen, or it's a matter of laws regarding firstborn animals, Bein Tameo, Bein Tahora, whether it's a firstborn donkey, which has its laws of Bechora, it's to be redeemed, and then the redeemed animal is given to a Kohen. Or it's a Behema Tahora, which is offered to a Kohen, and he would bring it as a sacrifice. Any of these areas, when a matter of doubt arises, we say, HaMotzi Mechaveiro Olovaraya. The one who is trying to lay claim, he has to bring proof to his position. V'toni Allah, and it's taught concerning that, Basurim Begiza Vavoda. Let's say you have a firstborn cow. It is not to be shorn, nor to be used in work. Cannot plow with it, for example. So what do we see? We see that in the realm of Safek, this case Safek Bechoros, we take the stringent approach. So how is it so sure that that you can say that Safek Nazirus Lahokel is in accordance with Rebbe Lazar? How do you resolve that with the continuation of the source, which features a stringency? Amar Lei, so Rabbi Zera responds, Amai kol medames kedusha bo me'eleho lekedusha abo bidei adam. Why is it that you are even comparing these two realms? There's kedusha, there's sanctity that comes on its own, as is the case in the firstborn. It's born without any real necessity of sanctifying it. It's by virtue of its being a firstborn, it is sanctified. So in a case like that, so we apply stringency. And that stringency restricts us in working with it or in shearing it on the grounds that it might be a holy animal or a holy entity. As opposed to Kedusha Bomi Dvide Adam, Kedusha, sanctity that's imposed, that is created by the person himself, as is the case with a vow, specifically with Nazirite-ship. There, a person does not enter. He won't allow himself to enter the realm of doubt. If there's any issue of doubt, so under those circumstances, he was not Mekabel, did not accept upon himself Nazirite-ship. So as far as raising a difficulty, a contradiction in concepts or in approaches from the Reisha to the Seifa, that's not a question. However, Elohi Kashya Ho Kashya, if you want to raise any difficulty, if you want to raise a problem, I'll tell you, this is a problem. The source says, Sofek Mashkin Litame Tome, Litame Acherim Tor, Divrei Rabbi Meir. If there's a doubt concerning defilement within the realm of liquids, Mashkin are liquids. If it's a suffake, a doubt concerning did the liquid itself become defiled, we will say it is considered defiled. If it's a question of mashkin that are tameim having affected something else, there we will say that other item is not affected. That's Rabbi Meir's approach, and v'chein hoya Rabbi Lozer Omer Kedvarov. And here we want to focus throughout this sukya, until we get to approach number two, we want to focus on Rebbe Lozer. So what does Rebbe Lozer say? That Safek Litame Tome. Umi Svirole L'Rebbe Lozer Litame Tome. And now we want to question that. Does Rebbe Lozer really hold that if there's a doubt concerning the liquid having absorbed Tuma, we will view it as Tome Vaha Tanya, Rebbe Lozer Omer, Ein Tuma Lamashkin Kol Iker. There is no Tuma that is relevant to liquids. Teda Shehare Heyed Yoisi Ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda Al Ayil Kamtsa Dochen. Yoisi Ben Yoezer said over testimony that he had received regarding an Ayil Kamtsa that it's Tohar. It's not, this is really tangential to our discussion, but it's a reference to a type of insect. There are, in the realm of locusts, there are certain types of locusts that are dochein. Dochein, for our purposes, would mean kosher. And the second point, this is what we want to focus on. V'almashkin beis mitbochaya dochein. And on the liquids of the slaughtering site of the beis hamikdash, the liquids of the slaughtering site include water, blood, that these are dochein. They are tohor. Dochein meaning, in this case, tohor. They are not subject to defilement. So, we're developing a problem. A few lines up, you saw where we had a source beginning with Sufik Mashkin, and Rabbi Lozer agreed with Rabbi Meir there that that liquids, if can absorb tumah, and if there's any doubt concerning whether the liquid absorbed the defilement, we rule it as defiled. Here you have the source in which Rabbi Lozer speaks about the mashkin beis mit mechaya as being dochein, as not being tomei, not being subject to tumah. Honi chole Shmuel, there'll be no problem if you accept Shmuel's approach to this Yosi ben Yoezer teaching. The Amar Dochein means milatame achirim, that mashkin beis mitcha don't have the capacity of communicating tuma to other things. Avol tumas atzmon yesh bohen, but as far as their own becoming defiled, that is a reality. Shapir means things are good. There's no problem. Above, we were talking about Mashkin's ability to become Tomei itself, and if there's any doubt, so we will rule that they will be considered Tomei. And this teaching of Yosi ben Yoezer that speaks about non-defilement, that is only in the context of communication of defilement to other things. But as far as the liquids themselves absorbing Tuma, that is a reality. Elo the Rav Diomar Dochein Mamish Maikolamar. But according to Rav, that says that the Mashkin beis mitbochaya Dochein means a totally tohar, that on a Torah level the liquids themselves do not absorb tumah. That on a Torah level they are tohar. Only on a rabbinic level would you begin talking about the mashkin as being subject to tumah, but that's only on a rabbinic level. Why is it then that when it comes to Sufik Nazirus, which is a matter of a Torah concern, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lozer would be reported as, according to what Rabbi Zero said at the beginning of the Sukkah, that Rabbi, the Tana Rabbi Lozer, would rule leniently. And when it comes to Safek Mashkin, which is altogether is only a rabbinic issue, why there would he be machmir? Would he be restrictive, stringent? Ella. So we have to go back to the drawing board. We have a Mishnah that says Sofek Nazirus Lahokel. We have our Mishnah that said when it comes to a matter of doubt concerning the Dorim, we're Machmir. How do we resolve these two sources? So a second approach, Elo Ha Rabbi Yehuda, the Ha Rabbi Shimon. Two new names. Rabbi Yehuda will take the approach of Sofek Nazirus Lahokel, and Rabbi Shimon would be our Mishnah that is Machmir. When there's a matter of doubt concerning Nedarim, we're Machmir. Desanya, we have a source in which these two opinions appear. Hareini Nazir im yesh b'kriyaze me'akor. Person accepts upon himself Nazirateship if in this pile of grain there is a quantity of 100 kor. Kor is a measure. V'holach u'matso she'nignav. And the fellow went and found that the pile of grain is no longer there. It was stolen or it's lost. And that creates a doubt. Was there a pile of 100 kor or not? Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no Nazirus. Rabbi Shimon Oser. Rabbi Shimon says he has to observe Nazirus. Maybe there was a 100 kor there, and Rabbi Shimon then represents our Mishnah that says Stam Nidorim Lahachmir. The Gemara asks, and we have a topic heading on the side that is under the Nosei heading, Stira Beshitas Rebuta Im Myelinish Nafshi Lisveka. This concept of Myelinish Nafshi Lisveka we saw at the very end of our previous year. We've made reference to it today in our introductory remarks. Does a person put himself or accept upon himself restrictions even in a matter of doubt? So we're going to, in this, with regard to that issue, we're going to see a stira within Rabbi Yehuda. We have a question you can see that lasts. It's a long question going to the top line of Amud Beis. And by the way, if you're interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara asks, V'rami de Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda. Mi Omar Rabbi Yehuda lo mael inish nafshe lesveka. Would Rabbi Yehuda really have said that? And in other words, the source that we saw at the beginning of the sugi, at the end of the previous shir, Safik Nazirus Lahakel, we want to ascribe that to Rabbi Yehuda, so that means that a person would not subject himself to restrictions when there is a matter of doubt. We raise a contradictory source. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Stam Truma Bihudo Asura Ubagoliel Muteris. This is a quote from our Mishnah. The Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches Omid Beis. Rabbi Yehuda said that a person who compares something or uses the term Truma in a vow without explaining what Truma he was referring to. As we saw in the Mishnah, some trumos will lead to the establishment of a vow, and some trumos would not. It has to be a type of truma that we would say is something that you dedicate, called a dovar hanodur, as we've explained often in the past. So Rav Yehuda says that when you have stam truma, stam means we don't know what he had in mind. If you're in the Yehuda region, so it's a binding vow. Ubegolil muteres. And in the Goliel region, the northern region of Israel, if a person uses the term truma in vow formulation, the vow will not get off the ground. She'ein anshei Goliel makirin es trumas halishka. Because in Goliel, people aren't familiar with temple treasury dedications. Temple treasury dedications, people dedicate money or items to the temple treasury. It's called trumas halishka. That is something that could serve as the basis of a vow. In Golil, they're not familiar with it. And hence, in Golil, if someone were to say, let us say that this piece of bread is upon me like Truma, will automatically assume that they mean Truma of grain tithes, and that's not going to be the basis of a vow, because grain tithes do not constitute what we call a dover hanodur. Now, why in Goliel then is the use of truma going to result in a non-vow? Taimo de ein makir, because they simply are not familiar with the trumas halishka. The only truma they know of is trumas hagoren, truma of grains. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ha makirin asurin. However, if they did know of truma salishka, and the person used the word truma stam unqualified, now that's a matter of doubt. We don't know what his intention is. He knows both kinds of truma, the truma salishka, which would lead to a real vow, versus Trumas Hagoren, which would not lead to a vow. And if the people knew of both, and we don't know what his intention is, well, Asurin, we're inferring here from the Seifa that the vow would take hold. So what do you see? You see that Rabbi Yehuda acknowledges that a person will say something, and even if it's a matter of doubt, he will bear the responsibilities. Adam Mael Esnaf Shelus Feka. The Gemara answers. We should repeat the question once again. After saying Safek Nazirus Lahakel is Reb Yuda, that's tantamount to saying that if there's a matter of doubt, a person would never have accepted upon himself Nazirateship or a vow if it's going to end up in a restriction. When it's a matter of doubt. And yet, in the Mishnah, our Mishnah, from Yud Ches Amud Beis, we see that Rabbi Yehuda says a person is Machnes Atzmo L'Sveika. Omar Rava. So Rava is one of a couple of attempts. You see here we have diamonds, and these are attempts to resolve the stira in Rabbi Yehuda. Rava is number one. Ravashi appears later as number two. So Omar Rava. Gabi Kri. Kri is the pile of grain, but that's a reference to the source in which Reb Yehuda spoke about someone accepting Nazirateship and the conditions were never revealed because of it, the pile of grain being stolen or lost. That was the issue of doubt concerning Nazirus. So Gabi, regarding the case of the doubt surrounding the Nazirus, Kosovar, Reb Yehuda's approach is, Kol shesfeku chomor mi vadai, lo mayel nafshe lesfeka. When the situation of doubt would end up being more restrictive, more severe than the situation of certainty, let's make things a little simpler, a doubtful Nazirus versus a certain Nazirus, a person lo mayel nafshei l'sfeika, person will not enter the realm of doubt. And therefore, Reb Yehuda says that when it comes to Nazirus, a person would never have accepted upon himself Nazirus if the circumstances were questionable, were doubtful. A person accepts Nazirus only when the conditions are certain. And why is that? Because the situation of doubtful Nazirus, as we'll see in a second, is more restrictive than a situation of definite Nazirus, as the Gemara explains. The Ilu Gabi Nazir Vadai Megalech Umevi Korban Venechal. A person who was a Nazir, what happens? At the end of 30 days, he brings sacrifices, and after bringing even one of the three sacrifices, he is entitled to take, he has to take his Nazir haircut, and the Korban that he brings is eaten. And that's the way he exits the Nazirus period. The Alsfeko, however, if the person was a doubtful Nazir, Lo Motzi Megaleach, he'll end up being unable to take the haircut, because in order to take the haircut, in order to take to have the hair, his body hair cut, he has to bring a sacrifice. But maybe he wasn't a Nazir. And if he wasn't a Nazir, how could he possibly bring a sacrifice? That would not be, it wouldn't be a sacrifice. It wouldn't be something he's obligated to bring. It would be an Aveira to bring such an animal. It would be called Chulin Bazara. It would be the mundane brought into the temple courtyard. And that's something forbidden to do. So when there's a matter of doubt concerning Nazirus, if a person would be obligated to observe Nazirus restrictions because of the doubt, he'll never get out of his Nazirus period. The Gemara focuses on the haircut. He'll never be able to take a haircut. That will create a highly restrictive lifestyle for the gentleman. So at this point in the Gemara, you'll notice we have a bracketed section. The purpose of these brackets is to maintain the continuity of answers to resolve the stira in Rabbi Yehuda. So if we skip the brackets momentarily, Rav Ashi says, Hahi, the source where Rabbi Yehuda was matir by Nazirus, we say Sofek Nazirus Lahakel, that is not Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion, that's Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tarfani. That's Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rabbi Tarfain. That's not Rabbi Yehuda himself. So that in the Sofek Nazirus Lahakel, that was the case where he would accept Nazirus if the pile of grain measured 100 kor, and then turned out that the pile of grain was stolen, so they never found out how much there was, the person would not be bound. That was Reb Yehuda's approach. But that wasn't Reb Yehuda's own opinion. That was Reb Yehuda quoting Rebbe Tarfon. So that as far as raising a stira within Reb Yehuda, there's no question. Reb Yehuda himself, maybe just to complete that point of thought, Reb Yehuda himself, when it comes to a matter of doubt concerning korbanos, Reb Yehuda in fact is restrictive, as we saw with regard to the stam truma issue, but with regard to stam nezirus lahokel, that was Reb Yehuda quoting Rebbe Tarfon. Within the realm of Sofek Nezirus, we saw Rebbe Shimon as being, in fact, restrictive. But that would be then Rebbe Shimon, in effect, arguing with Rebbe Tarfon, as quoted by Rebbe Yehuda. We have a bracketed section that we turn back to, starting from five lines from the top. Amar le Rav Huna bar Yehuda l'Rava. You notice we have a trapezoid form, and on the side of the Gemara, it's featured under the Mivneh heading. These are Shtei Kushyos shel Rav Huna bar Yehuda al Hadyama Rava. These are two questions of Rav Huna in the direction of Rava, who had said the Benozir Hasofek Yoiser Chomor Minavadai. Rava said that in the realm of Nazirus, the Sofek is more Chomor than the Vadai, and therefore he will not be a Nazir. Is that really true that the Sofek is more Chomor than the Vadai? The Ran at the top line, we'll read it together. Omar Hareini Nazir Oilomai. The Braisa that we saw on Omen Aleph, where a person accepted upon himself Nazirus if the pile of grain measured 100 kor, was taught in an unqualified fashion vis-a-vis what kind of Nazirus. V'yesh b'mashma, it would seem to include afin Nazir Olam. Nazir Olam, as a person, as opposed to the 30-day Nazirus that we've been speaking about in the past, Nazir Olam is someone who, for the balance of his life, will observe Nazirus. And even so, Reb Yehuda says that if the pile of grain was stolen, the person will not be a Nazir. Even though, in that case, the doubt is not more restrictive than the certain Nazirus. Taha, Vadai, Nami, Lo, Motzi, Megalech. A Nazir Olam, who is a certain Nazir Olam, also does not take a haircut. So, that being the case, why is the Braisa saying that, according to Reb Yehuda, he won't be a Nazir under all circumstances, he will not be a Nazir, no matter what kind of Nazirus he was makabel on himself? And Rava had explained the reason he won't be a Nazir is because the Sufik is more Chomer than the Vadai. Well, according to Rava, what if the Sufik is not more Chomer than the Vadai, then it would stand the reason he should be a Nazir. That's Rav Huna's question. Now, we read it in the text. Omar le Rav Huna bar Yehuda le Rava. Omar, if a man would have said, Hareini Nazir Oilam, my, when accepting upon himself Nazirite-ship, he says, I want to be a Nazir Olam, a permanent Nazir. And the pile of grain was stolen, and he never found out whether there was 100 kor in there. What are you going to say then? Omar Le, Rava says, there too he won't be a Nazir at all, based on my rule. Nazir Olam Nami, Sfeiko Chomur Mivadai. Even within the realm of Nazir Olam, the situation of doubt would be more stringent than the situation of certain Nazir Olam. The Ilu Vadai, a person who is a real Nazir Olam, out of certainty, he knows that he's a Nazir Olam. The pile of grain was never stolen, let's say, and it measured 100 kor, using the example of the Braisa. So, a Nazir Olam Vadai, Notice the leniency that he has. Hichbit Sairo Meku Batar, maybe Shalosh Bemos, in the course of his Nazirus, when his hair gets very long, it's very long, maybe uncomfortable, he has a right to Meku Batar, means to lessen the hair burden, to cut part of the hair. And in order to do so, he'll have to bring the Nazir sacrifices. That will give him license to cut the hair. And the sacrifices are treated like regular nazir sacrifices, and everything is fine and good. V'ilu sfeiko lo. If he were a safek nazir olam, he wouldn't be allowed to do that. He wouldn't be able to be mekel sairo, because in order to mekel sairo, he would have to bring korbanos, but he can't bring korbanos. Maybe he's not a nazir, and the animals he would bring would be chulin bazara, like we explained before. Well, what about the following? Omar Hareini Nozir Shimshon Imai. Now, Shimshon was a shoifet, a judge in the time of the shoiftim period. In English, he's known as Samson, associated with a man of very great strength. He is a person that, in his own lifetime, he happened to be a Nozir, and he was not to take a haircut under any circumstances. So that in the realm of Nozir Shimshon, there's no difference between a Vadai versus a Safek. Just like the Vadai would not be able to take a haircut, even by bringing Korbanos, so too the Safek doesn't have the ability to take the hair, to have the haircut. So why is it then that if he had accepted himself Nazir Shimshon and the grain was stolen, why would Rabbi Yehuda say he doesn't have to observe Nizirus? Amar Lei, Rava answers, Nazir Shimshon lo Tanya. Rava says there's no such thing as Nazir Shimshon. Shimshon became a Nazir, but because his mother had imposed the Nazirus on him, and one can look into the Tanakh for the entire story with the Malach, the angel, discussing this with his mother before his birth. Nazir Shimshon is not a classic case of Nazirus. It's not a function of someone. He was a Nazir, that's true. Shimshon, the historical figure Shimshon, was a Nazir, but there is no Tanaic source that talks about people accepting upon themselves that type of Nazirite-ship. So it doesn't exist. The Gemara responds to Rava, Amar Lei, V'homa Rav Ado Baravo Tanya Nozir Shimshon. There is a brisa that teaches the concept of accepting upon oneself that kind of Nazirite-ship. Amalei, so Rava says back, well, if that's the case, e tanya, if it's taught, so be it. Now, so be it what? Was this not a problem for Rava? Namely, if you have a situation of the Safek not being more chomor than the Vadai, why would Rabbi Yehuda rule that it's mutter, that he doesn't have to observe the Nazirus? And if we can't answer that, you have to realize we're back to square one with regard to the stira within Rabbi Yehuda, that we see Rabbi Yehuda saying by the Stam Truma case that a person is bound. Where there's a matter of doubt, it is binding. So in the case of Nazirus, it should also be binding. Why would it say Rabbi Yehuda Matir? So now Rava's response right now is Itanya Tanya. We look in the Ran, in the upper part of the narrow lines, Itanya Tanya, Velo Yodano Lefruko, and I don't have an answer to Lo Tikshiahi Dienan Shigolil Makirin Truma Salishko Demashmo Makirin Asurin. Now I really don't have an answer to the stira that was raised before. Inami, itanyo, tanyo, utre tanoi alibo de Rebbe Yehuda. Another approach to understanding Rava's response here is that, look, there are actually then two versions as to what Rabbi Yehuda himself would hold. One version says that a person is never machnes himself to a safek, and the other version is people are machnes themselves to a safek, and that would be Rabbi Yehuda in the case of the Stam Truma Begolil case. Rav Ashi Omar. You see, we have the diamond, number two. So this, you can see very easily then, is a second approach to resolve the seeming contradiction within Rabbi Yehuda's that we've been speaking about till now. So Rav Ashi says, Hahi Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tarfanhi. That which we saw Rabbi Yehuda matir by Nozir, with the pile of grain that was stolen and never discovered whether it had the 100 core or not in it, that's not Rabbi Yehuda's own sheet. That's Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rabbi Tarfan, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Tarfan Omer. Ein echod mehem nozir. This is a case, quoted here in a very abbreviated fashion. There were two people. Two people that were sitting next to each other, viewing someone coming from the distance. Mr. A says, I'll be a Nazir if that guy is a Nazir. He doesn't know whether or not the guy coming from the distance is a Nazir or not. But out of doubt, he says, well, if he is a Nazir, I'll be a Nazir. The other guy says, I'll be a Nazir if the guy coming is not a Nazir. The result of that is, according to Rabbi Tarfan, Ein echod mehem nozir. Neither one of these guys will be a nozir. If you notice the Rashi, the lower part of the Rashi commentary, Ein echod mehem nozir. Shnayim shu oimdin v'omar echod harini nozir imze ish ploni shibo kinegdenu. V'echod omar harini nozir imeinu hu. The example that Rashi gives is that I'll be a nozir if the guy coming in our direction is so and so. And the other guy says, I'll be a nozir if it's not so and so. At the time they're speaking, neither one knows the identity of the guy coming in their direction. It's irrelevant what his identity turns out to be. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Tarfan. Why? Lefisha lo nitno nazirus elo lahafla. Nazirus, Nazirite-ship, is something that is binding only if at the time it's accepted, it's haflo. Haflo means clear, well-defined speech. Even if it's, namely, only if at the time of the acceptance, all the, we'll say, the details were clear, were in place. Therefore, with regard to the pile of grain case, the amount in that pile wasn't known at the time he accepted the Nazirus. The Gemara continues, Ihochi Mayuria Shinignav Oishavad. If it's an issue of lack of clarity at the time of speech, what difference does it make whether it was stolen or lost, even if it was there? But since at the time of the nether it wasn't clear how much was there, there is no Nazirus. So the Gemara answers, that's true. Elo lahodiacha keichei de Rabbi Shimon. The reason the source taught what it did was to show us how far Rabbi Shimon went in his opinion. The afagav de nigna voishe avad, even though it's stolen or lost, and the amount will never be known, kosova Rabbi Shimon holds mayalinish nafshe lesfeka. A person will allow himself to be bound even under doubtful circumstances. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Stam Truma B'Yehuda Asura B'Golu Mutera Sheinan Shigolu Makirin Es Trumas Halishka. We're going to continue in this Gemara with inferences from the different sections of this of this Mishnah. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, Sofek, Truma, and then there's a realm of Haramim, Sofek of Haramim. Chayrim being a type of language that also has to do possibly with vowing and temple dedications. Under the Mivneh heading, you see triangles appearing in two different directions. These triangles represent Diyukim Mehoresha Vahasefa Shehatoitzois Hafuchois. We're going to draw inferences from the Resha and from the Sefa, and the inferences result in opposite conclusions. Diyuk Mehoresha, the Diyuk from the Resha will end up saying Sfeika Lechumra, where there's an element of doubt, will be restrictive. And Diyuk Mehasefa, Sfeika Lekula, where there's an element of doubt, we will rule leniently. The Gemara. Regarding a person who said in a vow format, he said, I want such and such item, I want this piece of bread to be like Truma. And we say in Goliel, the vow is not binding because they are not familiar with the kind of Truma that would have led to a vow, namely the Truma Salishka. Let us then medayik, we're infer ha makirin asurin. Had the people of Galil been familiar with Truma Salishka in addition to the Truma of the Goren of the granary, we would have ruled in the, we'll say, the doubtful case, namely the unqualified, the undefined Truma situation, we would have ruled there is a vow. Alma Sfeika L'chumra. So that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you have doubt, you rule stringently. Namely, that the person is obligated to observe the vow. Emo Sefa, Stam Charom Yehuda Mutorin, Ubegolil Asurin. The use of the word Chirem in Yehuda, without any qualification, is a non-vow, because in Yehuda they were very familiar with the chirim of Kehanim. That's a dedication that one makes to Kehanim, that the item given to Kehanim, once it's in the hands of the Kehanim, is not considered something that's a dover hanodor, and hence it wouldn't be the basis of a vow. In Goliel, the Stam Cherem is restrictive. She'ein anshi ha-Goliel makirin es Cherem ha-Kehanim. In Goliel, they only know Cherem in the context of a Beis HaMikdash dedication. But, and they don't know, they're not familiar with the concept of dedications to Kehanim that we call Cherem ha-Kehanim. We infer, ha-Makirin, had the people of Goliel been familiar with Cherem Kehanim Mutorin, then the use of Cherem in Goliel without any qualification would have led to Heter, meaning no vow. Almost Sveika Lekula. So you see that when there's a matter of doubt, the unqualified use of the word Cherem, when both kinds of Haramim are known to the speaker, we would say you're not bound. So what do we see? We have a seeming contradiction then within Rabbi Yehuda. Omar Abaye, Seifa, the Seifa which resulted in Sofek Lekula, is not Rabbi Yehuda at all. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Tzadoki. It's a different Tana. It's Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Tzadok. Desanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Stam Truma Biyehuda Asura. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Stam Haramim Begoliel Asurin. What do we see here? We see that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok says that the Stam Cherem in Golil is Asur. That's because they're not familiar with Cherem Kehanim. But had they been familiar with Cherem Kehanim, it would have been Mutter. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.